fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the August 22nd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Our starting line for Tuesday's show is African athletics. Burkina Faso's Hugues Fabrice Zongo soared to victory in the men's triple jump for his country's first ever gold medal at the World Championships. Zongo had a winning distance of 17 meters 64 in Budapest, Hungary. He won the silver medal at last year's World Championships in the U.S. city of Eugene, Oregon, and Zongo was the bronze medalist at the 2020 Tokyo Olympics. After his gold medal-winning jump in Budapest, Zongo was asked, "What does this world title mean to you?"
It means more than what I can say, I can tell you, no. And for me, personally, it's just amazing because I dream of it so hard, and so it. This put me in a kind of pressure, you know. So this is why today wasn't easy for me to produce some great performance. So it's mean a lot for me. It's really mean a lot for me. So just now, I don't think about future. I don't think about past. I just think about this moment.
World triple jump champion Hugues Fabrice Zongo says he believes there's a party atmosphere now in Burkina Faso.
Ah, okay. In Burkina Faso, it's just like a festival now. And I think that when I will go back in Burkina Faso, I will just be the king. Yes, it will be great there. Yeah.
Two Cuban athletes, Lazaro Martinez and Cristian Napoles, won the silver and bronze medals, respectively, in the men's triple jump. In the women's 100 meters in Budapest, American Sha'Carri Richardson won the gold medal, crossing the finish line in 10.65 seconds, the fastest race of her life and a world championships record.
I don't even know what to say. It's surreal. I think in the morning I'll probably feel it. But it feels amazing just knowing that not only people see me as an athlete, but they see me as a person. I feel like that's my biggest thing more than anything. I want people to see that it goes beyond an athlete. You bring who you are onto the track. You bring your athlete into your life. There is no separating, honestly. So I'm glad that I can display who I really am, not my pain, not my sadness. I'm glad to sit here and be happy with whole and just knowing that it all paid off. I would say going into finals, just knowing that qualifying, surviving each round, getting into the final round, knowing that all the heavy hitters are going to bring that best A game. So it helped me pull out my best A game for myself as well, sitting next to literally legends. It feels remarkable. I just knew in my mindset I had to come with it because they're going to come with it. So I was prepared, and I'm grateful.
Sha'Carri Richardson sprinted past two Jamaicans in the race, Sharika Jackson and two-time Olympic 100-meter champion Shelly Ann Fraser-Pryce.
I guess first I want to say congrats to Sha'Carri and Sharika. It was really a fantastic race. I said to her earlier that last year I ran the 100 in a championship record, and it took a championship record tonight, so that's really remarkable. And for me, I think it's knowing that I can do more. That's really what keeps me grounded and, you know, continuing to work and to chase after medals and gold medals and running fast. And for me, it wasn't the year that I wanted in terms of, you know, starting and injuries, but I think champions show up no matter what.
Meanwhile, in the men's 110 meters hurdles in Budapest, American Grant Holloway won his third world title with a time of 12.96 seconds.
It was good. Obviously, I got the gold. The main thing was is really just to come out here and execute and make it happen. Overall, I've been consistent this whole season, so I'm really proud with that. I did what I set out to do, is win this title. And next year, I start shifting my focus to everything else.
That's three-time world champion Grant Holloway of the USA, who successfully defended his title in the men's 110-meter hurdles at the World Championships in Budapest. And I'm sure Grant's focus next year will be the Paris Olympics. He was the silver medalist at the 2020 Tokyo Olympics. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. You can follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, X, formerly known as Twitter, and at voaafrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My X, formerly known as Twitter handle, is at VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, you can listen online to the Sunny Side of Sports, as well as past episodes. Check out voaafrica.com for lots of Africa news. For world news, go to voanews.com. In African men's basketball, five teams, Angola, Cape Verde, Egypt, Ivory Coast, and South Sudan, will compete at the FIBA Basketball World Cup, which tips off on Friday, August 25th. The big tournament will be held in Japan, Indonesia, and the Philippines. Cape Verde and South Sudan are both making their Basketball World Cup debuts. The Bright Stars of South Sudan will play Puerto Rico on Saturday, August 26th, in their opening game in Quezon City in the Philippines. From Nairobi, Lucy Pony tells us about the preparations by the Bright Stars.
In February, the Bright Stars made history after hammering Senegal in the International Basketball Federation World Cup Africa qualifiers to secure a spot for the upcoming games. Aro Ramadan Chan is the Deputy Secretary General of the South Sudan Basketball Federation. He tells VOA the team is practicing and playing friendly tournaments in preparation for their international appearance.
You know, as the tournament progresses from one level to another, as all teams do, you get to add more experienced players. You get to add some of the best players that you didn't have previously. We did our level best to bring everybody on board to maintain that team that we had in the qualifiers. And then we added some of our big boys, some of our NBA boys, some of our pros who are playing out who couldn't come back then because of the commitments to different clubs, and they are all in season.
Arrow says, as part of its preparations, the South Sudan team has had to make reinforcements, including adding NBA players Wenyeng Gabriel and Khalik Jones, and Mariel Shayok and Emmanuel Akot, who have both played for the Canadian national team, and Mangok Mathiang, who has played for Australia. Arrow says, head coach Royal Ivy will have his major callback, which includes Captain Kwan Kwan and Nuni Omot, Deng Akwoth and Mareng Gatkwoth, who played in the African qualifiers. And Arrow says, with the impossible task at hand, the team is ready and the players cannot wait to represent South Sudan.
Oh, the feeling is beautiful. The feeling is so positive. The boys are very excited. The boys are pumped up. The boys are ready to represent the flag. They're ready to represent our nation. And they can't wait for the day to come. They're very ready. Mentally, physically, psychologically, the boys are ready.
Optimism reigns in the South Sudan camp. And despite having to win in the group stages to move to the next stage, Arrow believes the team will give its utmost best.
We're always hoping for the best, you know. And as we always say, we just go out there, we leave it out there, we leave it everything on the court, so that by the time the last whistle goes, you know that you've given your best. You've given 100%, 110%, 120%. And then after that, the results will speak for themselves. Win or lose, our boys are going to give it their 100%, and we are just hoping for good results. But we have a good team.
Sande Dech is one of the players of the Bright Stars. He says last week's pre-World Cup friendlies helped the team gel together in preparations for tough matches ahead of them.
obviously being our first tournament, our hopes are to play one game at a time, put our best foot forward and you know, play that game and then lead on to the next one. And our hopes for the group is to finish as a top African team to qualify for the Olympics next year. You know, whether that's making it to the next round, to the third round, we don't know what that looks like. But at the moment, our process is just one game at a time. Yeah, we're really looking forward to it. Once again, we're honoured, we're excited, and it's an opportunity to create history for our young country and you know, lay the foundation for the future generations.
Basketball fans in South Sudan say they are confident the Bright Stars will bring back a trophy. Supporter Agao Kothia Kwany says she is waiting to see the Bright Stars perform in the World Cup matches.
This is the second historic event after South Sudan independence as the first country in East Africa to qualify for World Cup. We are so proud of our national team. We wish all the best. We are going to show the world that we are existing.
And Juba Town resident Kenyi Frederick predicts the Bright Stars will surprise the world.
All the best to our basketball national team. We look forward to celebrate your great victory in the next few weeks to come. It means a lot to us as the young people in the Republic of South Sudan. So we wish you all the best. God bless you.
The South Sudan Bright Stars only joined the International Basketball Federation in December 2013, 2 years after the country gained independence. The Bright Stars will make their global debut in the World Cup 2023 on August 26th. For VOA News, I'm Lucy Pony, reporting from Nairobi.
Thanks, Lucy. Lucy mentioned Nuni Omot in her report. In May, Nuni was named the most valuable player of Season 3 of the Basketball Africa League after helping Al Ahly of Egypt win its first BAL title in Kigali, Rwanda. In Kigali, Nuni told VOA, "The Basketball World Cup is a great opportunity for South Sudan and its players.
Obviously, the World Cup is going to be real important. It's going to be really big for us. It's going to be a really big opportunity for a lot of the guys, you know, to be showcased in front of a lot of, you know, scouts, people, and, you know, obviously we're playing good teams as well. So, I mean, I feel like if we perform there, they can't count us out anymore. You know, I feel like they're still counting us out. But, I mean, everybody from South Sudan is hungry, you know. That's the difference between a lot of us, is that we're hungry. We have a lot of talent. You know, not only just on the national team, we got younger guys. Kaman as well, you know, coming up, 16 years old. He's going to be a problem. He's going to be, you know, another South Sudanese player in the NBA. I believe so. So, you know, I feel like the future is bright for us.
That's Nuni Omot, the 2023 Basketball Africa League Most Valuable Player. And Nuni was talking in Kigali, Rwanda. Nuni said he believes his performance in Kigali will inspire South Sudanese children.
With how much talent is in South Sudan, you know, a lot of guys don't get the opportunity or the credit that they should get. And I feel like, you know, with me being able to come back and, you know, play, win a championship in the MVP, is going to open up a lot of doors for the younger kids and the younger generation to come. And I think that's what's most important, honestly, to have kids get opportunities. You know, you got young guys like Kaman, who was on Senegal's team. You know, he's only 16 years old. He's at the academy. He has a very bright future. And I think, you know, he's going to be a pro as well. And just for me to be able to do this means a lot. You know, it means a lot for the country just because of everything that's gone in the previous years and everything, you know, how people portray and look at our country. For me, it's just, it means the world, you know, because I just feel like, you know, opportunities are going to open up, and that's what's most important. Obviously, not everyone is granted equal opportunity as far as, you know, sports, life, you know, that's just the way it is. But, you know, I feel like with me opening up this door, it's going to present a lot of opportunities for younger kids.
That's Nuni Omot, the 2023 Basketball Africa League Most Valuable Player. Nuni is now preparing for the FIBA Basketball World Cup with South Sudan, one of five African teams in the tournament. In an interview with Iron Mike Mbonye, FIBA Africa's head of competitions, Julian Farron, said he thinks the African teams have a good chance of advancing out of the group stage at the FIBA Basketball World Cup.
The chance, I think that they have good chance because during the qualifiers of this World Cup, we saw very good teams like South Sudan, who has a huge potential of players. So all these players playing abroad, if they continue with serious, they can have a good chance to be in the head of the competition. Also, Cote d'Ivoire is an experienced team. Egypt, they are not bad. They have potential. Cape Verde with Tavares will be a good pick. And Angola, they are experienced, but I think that it will be medium.
Among these teams you've mentioned now and talked about their potentials, which ones do you think might go beyond the first round?
This is a big question. Really, we don't know, but I think that Cape Verde, South Sudan, Egypt have the chance to go for the second phase. I think so, but I hope to have all the five teams in the second phase.
That would be great. As the head of FIBA Africa Competition Department, what has it been like raising players from the tournament, getting players, and making the young ones to take to basketball in Africa?
This is our target. It's really to promote basketball in Africa, to have the best player, and also for the teams to collect all the good players, really all the good African players, to raise on the world. So this is our main target, and we encourage all the team to do it.
From your records and from reactions, what has been the response like in these efforts you're making to get the young ones and to get good players in the continent?
The response is good, because if you look at the AfroBasket, the last two AfroBasket, we have really good teams with good potential players. So teams are really proud to bring all the players who are abroad, particularly teams like Nigeria, Senegal, and Cape Verde. So it's a good response from teams.
What message do you have for these five African teams that are going to the FIBA World Cup?
Our message is already the same at all time, is to be the best ambassador of Africa, is to show all the work that we are doing in Africa, to show that we have talent, we have potential, and we can be amongst the best in the world.
That's Julian Farron, FIBA Africa's head of competitions, and he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye in Lagos, Nigeria.
Sporty greeting. This is Julian Farron from FIBA Africa head of competition. You are listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America.
This week on Straight Talk Africa, we'll discuss the 15th BRICS Summit taking place in South Africa this week. Heads of state from Brazil, India, China, and South Africa are convening to discuss expanding the group. Over 40 countries are vying to become members and have a greater say in geopolitics. For in-depth analysis, join me, Haley Adams, on the next Straight Talk Africa, this Wednesday at 18:30 UTC.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free, pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
Thanks, Heather. That's Heather Maxwell, the host of Music Time in Africa, the voice of America's longest-running English-language program. Music Time in Africa was founded in 1965 by the late, great Leo the Music Man Sarkisian. And as part of our recent festivities celebrating the 60th anniversary of the Voice of America's English to Africa service, I chatted with the old sports emperor, Barry Mon, about Leo Sarkisian. And Barry and I both agreed he was a true Renaissance man, a broadcaster, an artist, a musician. He recorded music in, I think, just about every African country during his legendary music career. Rest in peace, Leo. And his successor, Heather Maxwell, has certainly done a wonderful job as host of Music Time in Africa. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Still with African basketball, Ghana was the venue earlier this year for an all-girls junior NBA clinic. The inaugural basketball event in Accra was held in conjunction with U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris's visit to Ghana. And among those taking part in the basketball drills was Vice President Harris's husband, Second Gentleman Douglas Emhoff. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports feature presentation, Yawafusu Larbi reports from Ghana.
The visits of the Vice President of the United States to Ghana coincided with the junior NBA clinic organized by the Basketball Africa League, the WNBA, and the NBA. The clinic was set up to give young girls the opportunity to sharpen their basketball skills and strengthen the representation of women in the sports. In all, there were about 70 girls who participated in the camp. The Second Gentleman of the United States, Douglas Emhoff, was the main guest of the event, engaging in drills with the young girls. He stated that gender discrimination should not be tolerated and women should be encouraged to engage in sports like basketball.
We know that when we lift up young girls and women in sports, we bolster their confidence, we bolster self-esteem, and sports provides courage that you'll need to take on the challenges of this world and to have that belief in yourself that you can do anything. You can do anything that you set your mind to. So I want every young girl out there to know this. We believe in you. You can do anything you want in this world. And you can get out there, whether it's on a court, whether it's on a field, and you can play the game just like anyone else. You can do it. So I want you to think about it right here. Imagine yourself as a future Olympian. Imagine yourself one day leading a team to a national championship. Or maybe you'll be a sports broadcaster. Who knows? You can do it if you set your mind to it.
CEO of Basketball Africa, Victor Williams, Ghana's Minister of Youth and Sports, Mustafa Yusuf, 2003 WNBA champion Astu Ndiaye Diatta, and film director Spike Lee were all in attendance. Victor Williams highlighted the increased focus in providing equitable opportunities for both genders to compete in the WNBA and the NBA.
We believe that that every young person in Africa has the potential to reach, to fulfill their talents in basketball. And so what we want to do, and part of our strategy, is to make that opportunity as widely accessible as possible. We're very focused on making it accessible to girls, and that's why we're hosting this clinic, an all-girls junior NBA clinic in Ghana. And we believe that through partnership with the ministry and with other stakeholders to grow the game in schools, to grow it at the grassroots level, to support with infrastructure and equipment, that will lay the foundation for Ghanaian players to more regularly make it into the NBA, make it to the WNBA, for Ghanaian team to qualify for the BAL, and for Ghana to be represented in the top basketball competitions around the world.
Ghana has never competed at any international basketball tournament, largely due to a lack of infrastructure and not enough technical men to teach the game. Ghana's Sports Minister Mustafa Yusuf noted the need to strengthen the development of basketball at the grassroots level.
Government have shown commitment in ensuring that we invest heavily in all sports, not only basketball. For government, our scope is very widely. So I will urge that any time that there is such opportunity, they come to the ministry. Once the ministry is not aware about this, it becomes very difficult. But government will ensure that we give equitable distribution of our resources to all sports, including basketball. And that is why His Excellency is investing in getting a basketball infrastructure at Botima. As you know, we are organizing the next African Games. And one of the facilities that we are developing is the multipurpose hall that can host any international basketball tournament in the world.
As to Ndiaye Diatta, who won the WNBA title in 2003, was pleased with the initiative for females and hopes that this continues for years to come.
To be brief, it will be hope, because you're dealing hope to these ladies. We were dealt hope to get to this level, to get inspired, which is very important, but also to know that anything they want to do, they can do. I'm an example of it, and I was in the same benches as them, in the same with the same probably coaches. They were just Senegalese, but just chasing the same dreams. So if honestly, personally, I can do it, any of them could do it. That's the thing. But also the fact that we're talking education and sports. So it's very important that they know that both need to go together. And the fact that the NBA is holding, NBA Africa is holding this in Ghana here, is not random. It has, some of it is building on past camp that the Pops, Memsa Bonsu, and the other NBA player have done. And it's great, the momentum that the NBA Africa is having right now.
It was an inspiring basketball day in the heart of Accra. For the many girls who participated in the camp, they will live with the memory and the skills they learnt for years. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Yao Fusilabi in Accra.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. Before wrapping up the show, let's give a Sunny Side of Sports birthday salute to Kenya's Paul Aaron, the 1988 Olympic champion in the men's 800 meters race. Paul was born in Kitale in Kenya's Northern Rift Valley, and even though he ended his running career more than 30 years ago due to Achilles heel injury, Paul Aaron remains active in athletics. He's currently the head cross-country coach at the University of Texas at El Paso here in the USA. Happy 57th birthday to Kenya's 1988 Olympic champion, Paul Aaron. For tuning in to the August 22nd edition of the show. I'm VOA's Sunny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.